So a couple of weeks ago, I started in part one of what I call the Empowered Life. And today's part two, and I know some of you were not here for part one, but I'll briefly cover it up because the part two is pretty much finishing off the first pillar. We mentioned there are four pillars in the Christian walk. Well, this is not extensive or not the only pillars, but these are the foundational for anyone that believes and trusts in God. There are some foundational pillars that helps us to be rooted and grounded in Christ. Anyone remember the pillars we looked at? Number one. Pillar number one. Prayer, yes, that's right. Pillar number one, prayer number two. Oh my, I didn't do well. You forgot already. Pillar number two, the Word of God. We can't forget that, all right? So now you're going to write them down. Yes, so if it's 2 weeks and you forgot, then you're going to write now, right? So pillar number one, pillars of the Christian life is prayer. Number two, the study of the Word. Number three, Christian witness. And we're going to flesh that out in the future. And number four, a life of praise. A life of praise. We're tempted to complain. We're tempted to forget to praise God in the beauty of holiness. So that's pillar number four. So we're going to flesh out a little bit more of pillar number one. We started looking at some very important factors as it relates to prayer. Luna, welcome. I didn't realize it was you. I think your glasses disguise you there for a minute. We're glad you're here with us, Luna. So pillar number one, prayer. Last time we look and we recognize in the sanctuary service, this is quick review, 5 minutes. We look that in the sanctuary service, we see in the holy place, the table of shewbread, the altar of incense or burnt incense, and then we have the seven candlesticks. This is a representation, the altar of incense, prayer. We're going to break that down a little bit more today. The table of shewbread, a representation of the Word of God, which we're going to study in the future. And then the golden candlesticks, as Jesus makes it very clear in Matthew that we are the light of the world. So we're going to look at witness, Christian witness in the future. And then later we're going to look at the praise aspect of things. So we were very clear in our first part of this series that it is impossible for the soul to flourish while prayer is neglected. Repeat that with me. It is impossible for the soul to flourish if prayer is neglected. All right? We were very clear. We talked about a quote that I like from Charles Spurgeon, which says, "A prayerful church is a powerful church." A prayerful church is a powerful church. And the opposite is a prayerless church is a what? Powerless or weak church. And so God is calling His church to prayer. In fact, in the book of Acts, we're going to flesh that out in the future, we see that the early Christian or the apostles during that time, their ministry, their work was bathed in prayer. They recognized that without prayer, they were not able to fulfill God's will, to do God's work, and in order for them to have a power-packed life, they needed to be bathed in prayer moment by moment. Friends, you see, we are living in perilous times, dangerous, difficult times. And without prayer, Satan will snatch us in a breeze. Without connection with God, Satan takes connection and hold of us. And so Spurgeon put it this way, "I would rather teach one man to pray than 10 men to preach." You see, it is more important to be connected with God through prayer than to be excited about preaching. But the good thing is, when we are connected with God through prayer, when we are communicating with Him daily, we are able to open His Word, because now it's not our Word anymore, but it's the Lord that is speaking through us. I'd like to read a very important verse as we begin for today. We want to look at Luke chapter 18 and verse 1. Luke 18, turn with me. We're going to look at various verses short in our time for this morning. Luke chapter 18, and we are in verse 1. Luke 18 and verse 1. Look at what the Bible says. Look at what it says. And he spake, who is he? Jesus. He spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to do what? To pray and not faint. To pray and not faint. What does it mean? Men always ought to pray but not faint. What this fainting is all about? Okay, discouragement or neglecting to pray, neglecting to surrender to God, or just live a very easygoing life without being vigilant. You see, whenever we're vigilant, then faintness will go away. In fact, Jesus, while he was depending on his disciples to pray with him, actually they were fainted, and Jesus knew it. They were almost asleep, they were tired, they didn't give prayer the first priority. That's what fainting is. When we don't give God first priority, or prayer priority, then we're fainting in the faith. So Christ is saying men ought always to pray and not faint. In my first part, I share an experience when we normally, as human beings, we like to work out things for ourselves. We try to work it out. We do all we can, and then we're just struggling. We're at the end of the stick, and that's when we need to pray now. We need to call upon God. But it should be the opposite. In every danger, in every difficulty, our first call, our first cry should be prayer. And so, friends, there's a beautiful quote that I like. It says, prayer is the opening of the heart to God as to a friend. You see, it's all about relationship. Prayer is about relationship. It's opening my heart to my friend Jesus. It's asking him to help me every day, every moment of the way. It states, not that it is necessary in order to make known to God what we are, but in order to enable us to receive Him. Prayer does not bring God down to us, but it takes us up to God. It connects us with God. I think Andrea mentioned in the morning, or someone mentioned that God's hand is always outstretched for us. Someone mentioned that this morning. So the problem is, the hand is outstretched and ready, but most times it is us that are letting go of God. And through not praying, through not communicating, connecting with God, we're losing, or we're disconnected from the power that is necessary for Christian growth. And so during our time last week, we talked about seven important points on the prayer life of Jesus. That's what we looked at. We looked at the seven important points of the prayer life of Jesus. We stopped at the fourth one, closing off with the fifth, I think. And so I'd like to just finish that off for today. For those who were not here, I will go ahead and just list the seven points in the prayer life of Jesus. And I'll give you a few verses so you can go home and flesh it out a little bit. So the seven points in the prayer life of Jesus. Point number one, prayers in filling power. Prayers in filling power. And that is Luke chapter 3, 21 and 22. Write it down. Luke 3:21-22. It shows Jesus praying. Jesus was baptized, and at his baptism, the Holy Spirit filled Jesus as he was praying. Notice, at the baptism, Jesus was praying right there on the spot. And the Spirit filled Jesus. The Holy Spirit came on him as the form of a dove. Prayers in filling power. You see, you have to understand that just after the baptism, God was preparing Jesus because the devil or Satan would tempt him. And so he needed Jesus to be filled with the Holy Ghost in order to confront the temptation. Many times we think we want to confront the devil, but we are powerless. But God wants us to understand the only way we are able to confront or face the enemy is only if we are wrapped up and tied up in Jesus through the life of prayer. Number two, prayer gives us a new perspective. Prayer gives us a new perspective. And we see through this Luke chapter 5. Write it down. Luke chapter 5 verses 15 and 16. This is going through the prayer life of Jesus, folks. We need to be like him. He is our leader. He is our example. Prayer gives us a new perspective. Luke chapter 5 verses 15 and 16. You will see what was going on here during this time, that the fame went abroad about Jesus. The people were talking about what Jesus was doing and they got excited. But you know, friends, during this time, Jesus recognized that he needed to pray to his Father. I mentioned the last time that it is very easy for us to get caught up in the things we're doing and forget who is doing it in and through us. So Jesus, instead of enjoying the moment, his perspective was changed when he went away from the multitude to pray to his Father. We can get distracted by the things and the people around us. They're saying things, they're excited, and we get caught in the moment and forget that anything we're doing, it is not because of anything in us, but it is the power of God that works in us. And Jesus withdrew from the multitude to spend time with his Father. Point number three. Prayer gives divine guidance. I love this. Oh, friends, do we need guidance today? Do we need guidance moment by moment? We do. Every moment the enemy is after us, and we need his divine Holy Spirit to guide us. That is coming from Luke 6, 12 and 13. Psalm 119, 133. Psalm 32, verse 8. Psalm 48, 14. So that's why we want you to write. Okay, we have a pen for you. All right. Folks, can you help me here today? Let's get a piece of paper and a pen. We're going to write the verses. Dear Father, I pray that you will submit and that your holy presence will be in this house. I pray, Father, that any other presence that doesn't glorify you will be out of your house, because your house is a house of prayer. And so now, Lord, as we review part one and would have each one to write down the verses and go back like the Bereans and when read slowly, meditatively on the verses, we just ask now that you will do this for all of us in Jesus' name. Amen. Point three, prayer gives divine guidance. Luke chapter 6, verses 12 and 13. Psalm 119, verse 133. Psalm 32, verse 8. Psalm 48, verse 14. Prayer gives divine guidance. Our hearts will often burn within us as one draws nigh to commune with us as he did with Enoch. Those who decide to do nothing in any line that will displease God will know after presenting their case before him just what course to take. You notice how we will know what course to take? When we do nothing to displease God. When we please God with our lives, he guides us. When we please him with everything we do, he tells us what to do. Point number four. In prayer, we receive encouragement from others. In prayer, we receive encouragement from others. This is coming to us from Luke chapter 9, verses 29 and 30. Luke chapter 9, verses 29 and 30. We see Jesus needed encouragement in the difficult period of his life. This is the time that he needed to get ready to prepare for the last days of his life. Luke chapter 9, verses 29 and 30. Prayer. In prayer we receive encouragement from others. Jesus was struggling. It was a tough time for him. He needed grace. And when you read through the book of Luke, what you notice is that the presence of Elijah and Moses came to comfort and encourage the heart of Jesus. Friends, there are times when we need the encouragement from others. We are not atoms. We are not supposed to depend on ourselves and think that we are able. We are not. And therefore, God has given us the beautiful opportunity to receive encouragement and courage and peace from the courage of others. As they come, they encourage us. They help us to understand. I can imagine Moses and Elijah saying, Jesus, we know this is a tough part of this is the toughest part in your ministry, but go through your only Father. Your Father is with you. Number five, prayer impacts the lives of others. Prayer impacts the life of others. And this is where we want to flesh out a little. This is where I stopped last time. So now we are going to move forward. So prayer, number five, impacts the life of others. What about Luke chapter 11? Go with me now. Luke chapter 11, we're going to read together. Luke chapter 11, and we're at verse 1. Luke chapter 11, verse 1, we're looking at the prayer life of Jesus, 7 points from the prayer life of Jesus. Jesus is our example, and he has given us the ways how to overcome, how to be steady in the faith, and how to be rooted and grounded. Luke chapter 11, verse 1. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray. Will you say that today to God? Lord, teach me to pray. They saw John and his disciples, John praying and teaching his disciples. They saw the impact of that. And they said, Lord, teach us to pray. Now let's look at the prayer that Jesus prayed. Luke chapter 11, verse 2. And he said unto them, when he pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. In other words, glorify God in your prayer. Praise him in your prayer. Recognize God in your prayer. Understand who is God in your prayer. And then it says, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Holy is his name. Amen. Your name is holy, O Lord. You know that song? Holy is the name of the Lord. And therefore, where there is holiness, there is no place for unrighteousness, foolishness, whatever that is. Yes, but God wants us to come into the presence of his holiness. The verse continues. It says, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done as in heaven, so in earth. Don't miss that, beloved friends. When we pray, it is not anymore our will, but it is the will of the Father. It is not what we want, but it is what God wants for us. So it says, thy kingdom come. In other words, what's the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God is order. The kingdom of God is peace. The kingdom of God is holiness. The kingdom of God is righteousness. And therefore, when we pray, Lord, thy kingdom come, you are saying, Father, your righteousness be in me today. I want your order in my life. Order my steps in your word, dear Lord. Notice, the Bible continues. It says, give us day by day, or this day, our daily bread, and forgive us our sins. Notice in the Lord's Prayer, the big important thing is to ask Him to forgive us. You see, Christ wants to give us forgiveness every moment. And any time we are in trouble, we do something that we know is not right, and we're saying, Lord, please forgive me. But then the second aspect to that is as we forgive. Notice the language it uses. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. Sometimes we go to God asking for forgiveness, but we fail to forgive our brethren. In fact, Jesus, speaking in another place, Jesus says, if you or someone have committed a sin, or if someone have trespassed against you, and you're going to the altar, you're going to prayer, you're going to offer up to the Lord, and you remember that there is something going on with you and your brother, leave your offering. Go take care of matters with your brethren first. You see, that is important in prayer. Because there are times we want to go to God and we're asking Him to forgive us, we're asking Him to help us, but we are not forgiving our brethren. Is that the gospel? No. So God is saying, forgive one another your trespasses and everything that happened. Now you come to me. And I'll be able to answer and to take care of you. It says, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Anyone need deliverance today? I do. I need deliverance from evil, beloved friends. Because you see, Satan is lurking around, and especially in these last days, he's doing everything to conquer and to take hold of us. And the battle, beloved friends, is for the mind. The battle is for the mind. And so Jesus telling his disciples, ask the Lord to lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And Jesus wanted his disciples to understand that. Now, friends, I want you to see something very interesting here. Just after the prayer, or Jesus teaching his disciples to pray, there is this passage that follows. Look at verse 5. And he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend? Look at the way that Jesus bring about the story here. Which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at, when? Midnight. And say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. Lena baked some loaves the other day. It was very refreshing, by the way. Says, friends, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine is in his journey. So there's another friend. So I go to my friend to get bread for another friend. Yes. For a friend of mine in his journey is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. They should have asked Diane. Diane told us the other day that she goes to Adner's greenhouse and get a few tomatoes. I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer, say, trouble me not. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. Watch verse 8. This is the powerful aspect of what Jesus is teaching the disciples now. Verse 8 says, I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. Now, you don't see that word a lot in the Bible. Importunity. What is that? A little bit more. Thank you, Gia. Okay. We can flesh it out a little bit more. Dale? Pleading. Yes. So notice it says, Gia, as it says now, well, though he will not rise and give him because his friend, because, you know, you're friends. And you're thinking, you know, I'm asleep, but my friend is in need. And if you even think, you know, let's take care of this tomorrow. But his pleading, importunity, is continuous begging. It's like, let's break it down a little bit. So it's like he's asking, he's knocking, and the friend, come tomorrow. The kids are asleep. I need some rest. And the friend continues, no, friend, I have someone. I need to be a blessing to someone else. Insisting, that's it. We can continue to look and find the synonyms. Insisting. So his insistency caused his friend to say, no, I have to get up and give him. Do you see what Jesus is telling his disciples here? Don't miss this. Just after the Lord's Prayer, then Jesus shared this story with them. It's like Jesus is saying, so without telling them, you know, just on the surface, Jesus is saying, really, my Father wants to give you things. But sometimes if you just have a little shallow prayer, do you really need it? Oh, no. Oh, you just, yeah. But another important thing here is asking to give. And any time we pray to God so that we can be a blessing to others, Jesus will do it for us. He's asking to give. And he didn't give up after the first hour of prayer. You notice I said hour, not a minute. He didn't give up after a day or week. And that's why when we are needing the power of God in our lives, it's not just a one moment deal. We have to pray daily and moment by moment. We cannot believe because we prayed well today and we feel good today, we're doing well. No, my friends. We have to keep praying. And we have to keep trusting and surrendering to God. Jesus was saying to his disciples, listen, God, my Father, want to give you the kingdom of heaven indeed. My Father want to give you all his fullness and righteousness. But you have to have some insistency. You have to have some persistency. You have to be praying like Jacob. When Jacob, the Lord is there with him, and Jacob realized that, listen, I need this blessing. I am a sinner. I am struggling. I run away from my brother. I am a tricker. I trick my uncle. I do all these things. I'm messed up. I will not let you go until you bless me. When we're messed up, we need to hold strong to God. When we're messed up, we need to hold strong to the Lord and not let go. We need to plead and keep pleading, beloved friends. So Jesus is telling his disciples, you will really get it, but you have to be like this man that's asking for bread. Yeah. If I will it for you, it will happen. I have to be like this guy that's asking. It's like one commentator says, I love it. One commentator said, it's like bothering God. Oh, yes, importunate. It's like the man said, man, I can't sleep. I can't sleep. This man will not leave my door. Isn't it wonderful that God said to you, well, what am I going to do? Because Aniver will not give up. And so God said, man, I have to give him the blessing so that he can be a blessing to others. He will not give up. this is the heart that God wants us to have, beloved. As we pull to a close this morning, point number six. Point number six. Intercessory what? Intercessory prayer influence the decisions of others. Luke chapter 22. Come on with me now. Luke chapter 22, and we're looking at verse 31. Luke 22. We're looking at the prayer life of Jesus, you see, folks. This is part two of our series. We're looking at the empowered life. The Empowered Life series. Luke chapter 22, verse 31. Watch this. Look at what the Bible says. Verse 31 says, Luke chapter 22, verse 31. And he said, The Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, my Lord, that he may sift you as wheat. I wish I could flesh this out. Oh my. Simon, Simon, Satan have desired you. Now I want you to put your name there today. Because Satan is seeking to destroy us. Simon, Simon, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you. But I have prayed for you, praise God. But I have prayed for you, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, what will we do? Strengthen the brethren. Friends, intercessory prayer influenced the decisions of others. Simon was going down. Simon didn't understand what was going on, how Satan wanted to conquer him. And Jesus said, I pray for you. Jesus is saying to you and I today, Chaniel, I'm praying for you. That your faith fail not. Put your name there. I am praying for you. That your faith fail not. Then look at what it says. It says, and when thou art converted, you are strengthened, when you become overcomer, when now you are free from bondage, strengthen others. Oh, this verse is powerful. Because sometimes we're excited about strengthening others and we are going down. Watch me now. Sometimes we're excited. We want to strengthen everyone else. But it is I. It is I that need the strengthening. And therefore, what we need to make sure that we're doing is that we are daily, moment by moment, at the foot of the cross. Father, Satan is trying to sift me. Help me, Jesus. Help me, Jesus. And as the Lord helps us, and now we are in the Word, we are understanding what's going on, we are strengthening our brethren. And so the song says, it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Not my brother, nor my sister. You see, if all of us today said it's me, then we're good. We're prayed for. If everyone says it's me in the need of prayer, Lord, then God is helping. Now, as God is helping each of us, then the church of God becomes a powerful church because we strengthen each other. Finally, number seven, prayer's ultimate purpose. What is the real ultimate purpose of prayer? Trust God. I communicate, I connect with God, not for my will, but for His will. Luke 22, same chapter, 39 to 42. Just write the verses down. Time will not allow us to go through all of them. Luke 22, verses 39 to 42, and then Luke 23, verse 46. Luke 22, 39 to 42. Luke 23, verse 46. Prayer's ultimate purpose. Friends, Jesus was at the moment of his life when he needed to be strengthened. Satan, I'm sure, was there lurking around and saying to him, give up. Satan, through the crowd, if you remember, later in the crowd, when the crowd shouted, if you be the Son of God, come down. One of the thief on the cross, Satan using him, saying, well, save us and save thyself. You see, Satan was trying everything for Jesus not to go to the cross. Because you see, at the cross, he brought salvation. At the cross, he brought deliverance. At the cross, he helps us to remember that he's coming back to take us with him to heaven. At the cross, he won the victory. And Satan didn't want him to win. And he was saying, come down. But remember, in Luke 22:39-42, what was the prayer of Jesus? Lord, remove this cup. But I'm so glad that that wasn't the end of his sentence, beloved friends. I'm so glad he didn't stop there and remove this cup. Notice, Jesus gave us the example. Whenever we pray for things and ask God of things, we should always remember the last phrase of that sentence. Yeah, nevertheless, here we go, David. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. That is prayer's ultimate purpose. Not my will, but thy will be done. I work with many patients. And I remember one of the first patients I worked with, he was a pastor. And oh, beloved friends, he was in distress. And the pastor, you would imagine, he started saying to me, I'm serving the Lord. I am feeding the flock of God. I am doing everything that I know that God would have me to do. Why? He had breast cancer. Some of you don't know that men can get breast cancer too. He had breast cancer and it was just a serious situation. I was only 20 years old, young in therapy, and I was given the therapy. I was given the fever baths, and as I prayed with him, I looked in the eyes of the minister and he looked at me and he said, how could you explain this to me? What do you do with that? You know, there are times when folks are dealing with things, you don't have words to speak. And I'm looking, I'm thinking, Lord, I'm remembering some verses and I'm trying to quote a verse to him. But the Lord said, no, just let him be. Because he knows the verses. He knows the words. I know because I quoted one and he said, yes, I've read it all the time. And the Lord said, he knows the verse in the mind, but it's not in the heart as yet. Watch this. And so I prayed, Lord, in my mind, just quickly in the moment, Lord, help me. What do I say to this man? And the Lord impressed my heart just to speak to him about God's will. And I started opening up. And I started sharing, Pastor, I am no man to speak to you at this time, but permit me. And I speak and I said, Pastor, you know, I'm not sure what you're dealing with right now. I've not gone through this. I'm sure it's a difficult moment. But please remember, just as Jesus, he was in the deepest agony of his life and he prayed to his Father, not my will. Pastor, I don't know the purpose. Why God have you going through this? But he has a purpose. I don't know exactly why, but God has a purpose. And now he started to reason. He started to say, you know, I have served God these years and I want to continue to serve him, but I just realized that my mind, Satan was playing with my mind. You see, friends, that's what Satan does. Satan was troubling the minister's mind and he was almost losing faith and forgetting that, listen, God has a purpose, until we came to the point where the minister said, you know, if it is God's will that I die because I will see him when he comes again. And you see, the time when he surrendered his will to God, it's amazing. We started to see his progress going like this. You remember Job? I mean, Job struggled for a minute, but then Job prayed for his friends. And he gave it up. And we see how God restored. So friends, today, prayer's ultimate purpose is to do what? Is to trust God. We pray so we can trust him. Not my will, but thy will be done. I want to leave you with Ephesians 6. We're not going to be able to go there. I like to not take too much time in preaching. The good thing is I have part 3. So, in Ephesians 6, you know the story very well. In the future, I'm going to be fleshing out that chapter, by the way. But I want us to just think about the principles there. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. I'd like to leave us with that thought in mind. You see, friends, it's not flesh and blood we're wrestling against. It's spiritual darkness. It's darkness. It's the evil one, and we cannot fight him. We cannot battle for ourselves. We need God to fight the good fight of faith for us. We need Jesus, our elder brother, our Savior. He's the one that is able to fight for us. And so as you go through Ephesians 6 and put on, notice it said put on the whole armor. We're going to come back to that when we go into part 2, because part 2 is going to be the study of part 3, the study of the Word. The whole armor of God. You see, friends, if we only have the helmet, Satan can hit the chest and blow out our hearts. If we have the helmet and the breastplate, Satan can blow out our loins. And that's why I said, gird up your loins as well. And you see, if the loins are girded and the breastplate is on and the helmet is on, he will still come for the feet. Which has to do a lot with the gospel message, by the way. And that's why I say, put on the whole armor. We need to be sheltered and protected. Notice the song says, sheltered, protected, no evil can harm me. Resting in who? In Jesus. What will happen? I'm safe evermore. Let us rest in Jesus. Let us take the principles from the prayer life of Jesus in the book of Luke. And remember, it is He that will empower us in every situation, every difficulty. Let us call on Jesus. Let us call on Jesus. Let us pray to Jesus. Let us not neglect the moments of prayer. Let us not neglect, like the friend that went and asked one time, and that was it. No, friend, let's practice, as we read in the Bible, importunity. Let's practice searching and asking and keep asking. That's what Jesus was saying. Ask and keep asking. And when He sees that our desire, why we ask, is because we want to glorify Him and glorify others, our Savior will do it for us. May God bless you. May God keep you.